the Sicha for Parshas Chukas is in volume 18, Chelek Yudches of Likutei Sichas. It says in the Medrash on the Pasuk, Zeis Chukas HaToyra, the Medrash says, Arba Dvorim Yetzahara Meshiv Aleihem. There are four mitzvahs that the Yetzahara resists. Dichsiv Behem Chukah, because they are described as a chuk, a chukah, a commandment that is irrational, that has no rational explanation. These four mitzvahs are Eishes Och, the wife of a brother. On the one hand, the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to marry a sister-in-law, even after the brother passes away. If the brother had children, but then if the brother didn't have children, then it is a mitzvah to marry your sister-in-law. So how can it, on the one hand, be a sin, and on the other hand, be a mitzvah? It's one of the mitzvahs that we can't explain. Then, the mixing of wool and linen. First we're told that we're not allowed to wear wool and linen together, and then we are told to put the linen into the wool of the tzitzis. So, it's a sin and it's a mitzvah at the same time. The third thing is the soyer hamishtaleach, the goat that was sent away la'azazel on Yom Kippur. The person who took the goat became unclean, and by doing it, he brought cleanliness, forgiveness to all the people. So does it bring tumah or does it bring tahara? Contradiction. And the same is true with parah adumah. The person who prepares the parah adumah, the ashes of the red heifer, becomes unclean, and then sprinkling these ashes on the unclean person makes the unclean person clean. So these contradictions make the mitzvah irrational, not understandable, and the Yetzirah has a hard time with it. We find that Shlomo HaMelech says, Shlomo HaMelech, the smartest man of all, he said, on all the mitzvahs I have found a reason, explanation. When I came to the mitzvah of Parah Adumah, of the red heifer, I researched, I analyzed, I asked, and I finally came to the conclusion, Achakma v'hi rechoka mimeni. I thought I would understand, but it is beyond me. Which means that only the mitzvah of Parah Adumah remained a mystery to Shlomo HaMelech, not the other three that the Medrash mentions, even though they are all called chayk. So, according to this, the chukah of Parah Adumah is different from all other chukim. So the question is, by the Parah Adumah it says, Zeis chukas ha-toyra, that this is the chayk of Torah. This is the irrational commandment of Torah. This and no other. Because this chayk is more of a chayk than all the others. This is the true chayk. It is completely beyond human comprehension. More so than the other chukim. So the question is, the Medrash says that God explained to Moshe the meaning and the reason of the rationale of the parah, of the red heifer. L'cha ani megala. To you I will reveal the reason, God said. From this is obvious that there is an explanation for the Parah Adumah. So number one, why Shlomo, who was the smartest of all people, couldn't get to the explanation, couldn't find the explanation that obviously exists, the rationale behind the Parah Adumah. And number two, why didn't Moshe, who did know the reason, why didn't he reveal it and share it with others, as he shared all the other parts of Torah that were given to him as a gift, and yet he shared it? So why, when it comes to this mitzvah, to this information, Moshe does not share it with others? And if he was told not to share it, it's certainly not true that Moshe didn't want to share it. But rather, he was told not to share it. That's because it is beyond human comprehension. So even if he tried to reveal the reason to others, they would not be able to understand. And that's what it says about the Parah Aduma, Chukahi V'gzeira Gezarti. God says, this is a chuk, it is a decree, V'ein kol bria yecheilo lamed al gzireisei. And no creature, no created being can understand my decrees. So it's beyond comprehension. And that's why Shlomo, even though he was the smartest of all people, could not understand, could not find the reason for this mitzvah, because the reason is beyond human comprehension. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the most perfect of human beings, could not on his own ever have come to understand the mitzvah. It had to be given from above. God had to reveal it to him, because it is a divine reason, not a human reason. And so God says to him, "L'cho ani megala tam parah," to you I will reveal the reason of parah, even though a human being or a created being on his own could never come to this. So since Moshe did in the end understand, he did know the reason, why didn't he reveal it to others? And why couldn't God reveal it to others the same way that he revealed it to Moshe? So there must be a very deep reason for not revealing this divine explanation for the mitzvah of the red heifer. It is known in the explanation of Zeis Chukas HaTorah. The Torah is referring to the mitzvah of the red heifer, and yet it uses the term Chukas HaTorah. This is the decree of the Torah, rather than saying this is the decree of the red heifer. So it seems to be saying that there is an element of chayk, there's an element of decree to the entire Torah. That every mitzvah is in essence really a chayk. Even those mitzvahs that have an explanation, that have a rationale, in essence it is really a decree from God, and that's why we should fulfill even the rational mitzvahs. So that's why it says, Zeis Chukas HaTorah, that from this commandment we can see that not only is this particular mitzvah a decree beyond human comprehension, but that the entire Torah is also a decree. All the mitzvahs of Torah are really, in essence, a decree above and beyond human comprehension. So when it comes to doing the mitzvah, even the mitzvah that makes sense and that is rational, we should do them because God decreed it, and not because of the appeal that it has to our intelligence. And the same must also be true with the Torah itself. Not only all the other mitzvahs of Torah, but also with the Torah itself. That although we study Torah and we seem to understand what it says, we have to be aware that beyond what we comprehend in Torah, there is the decree part of Torah. There is the divine part of Torah that is beyond our comprehension. So that Torah is in essence above and beyond human reasoning. And that's why the Pasuk says, Zeis Chukas HaTorah, although in Torah there are many subjects, some of them rational and reasonable and understandable and logical, yet we are told here that beyond that, every part of Torah in essence is beyond understanding and is in fact chukah, a chayk. And not only is it a chayk like other chukim of Torah, but it is a chayk like this chayk, the chayk of the red heifer, the true chayk, that which is truly beyond human comprehension, even beyond the comprehension of Moshe Rabbeinu and Shlomo HaMelech. That's why it is necessary that at least one commandment should remain on the level of chukah without giving it any rationale whatsoever. Because in essence, even those mitzvahs that have a rationale are really chukim, are really above human understanding. Their true reason the desire that God has for them is truly beyond the reason that Torah gives for them. But we may not remember that, and we may not recognize that because of the reason that does exist. So there has to be one mitzvah for which no reason is given, so that we see that mitzvah in its purest form, in its purest condition, and that is the condition of the chayk, pure decree from God, God's will, without any garments concealing it. And so there has to be at least one mitzvah that represents that aspect of Torah and of all the other mitzvahs in which they are essentially and intrinsically a chayk. If all mitzvahs came down to the level of understanding and were given some rationale by Torah, by God, then we could make the mistake of thinking that they are truly rational and reasonable, and that there is nothing more to Torah than what the eye sees. And so there will be no room or no possibility for Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, because human intelligence does not approve of Mesiras Nefesh. Human intelligence wants everything to make sense. It wants everything to come down to our level rather than giving ourselves away, giving up our comfort in Mesiras Nefesh for what God wants. If every mitzvah and if all of Torah were seen as rational, the Rambam says that you could end up being novel b'rishus haTorah. Because since everything depends on human intelligence, and there is nothing beyond that that dictates our behavior, it is possible to become even in a Torah environment, even based on the study of Torah, you could become novel b'rishus Torah. A person can become vulgar and debased in his study of Torah, and then find explanations and rationalizations and justifications for his negative behavior, for his immoral behavior. He can find rationalization in the Torah arguments. And so it is that the expression in the Mishnah, Yogaito Matsasa, if you strive, you will find, that there is a level of Torah which you have to find. It's not something that the mind is capable of understanding. It's like a find, something that you come across unexpectedly, something you didn't work for or prepare for, but is given to you from above. And the way to get to that mitzia, to get to that part of Torah that is a find, you have to have yagaita. You have to strive. Because if you don't strive, if you don't go out of your way, if you don't rise above yourself, then you will never come across that part of Torah that is greater than the human condition, that can be called a find. Only when a person goes beyond his habits, when a person goes beyond his natural inclinations or tendencies, where he studies Torah even in those areas that he is not naturally inclined with curiosity and so on, but because it is Torah, he studies it diligently. Only then can he find that part of Torah that is a true find. And all of this is revealed and known and visible, that there's a part of Torah that is beyond human rationale, beyond the limits of the human condition. And that's because the inner part of the Jew is also that way, that there's a part of the Jew that is greater than the human condition. And it is that part of him that makes contact with the part of Torah that is higher than human intelligence. And then he reaches the level of ultimate knowledge. Ultimate knowledge is where I come to the recognition of that which I do not know. So now we have the opposite question. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to whom God revealed the reason for Parah Adumah, we might now think that Moshe was lacking the opportunities for Mesiras Nefesh. Since for Moshe, every mitzvah made sense, there was no room for him to exercise the Mesiras Nefesh to rise above the human condition in his study of Torah or in his performance of mitzvahs. And that can't be that God would give Moshe a gift and thereby take away from him such an essential quality in the Aveda of Torah and mitzvahs. So to understand this, we have to explain another Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe was told about the tumah that comes from coming in contact with a dead body, he said to God, if a person becomes tameh this way, how will he ever become clean? How will he be purified? And God didn't answer him at that time. And so Moshe's face turned white. And even when God later said to him, the ashes of this red heifer, this is how you purify a person who had come in contact with a dead body, even then Moshe asked, and will this actually bring purity? So we need to understand, what was it so difficult? What was Moshe's problem with cleansing the tumah of coming in contact with a dead body? There are greater forms of tumah, it would seem. The tumah of, for example, the tumah of leprosy seems to be a greater tumah, because the person who came in contact with a dead body is not allowed to be in the Machne Revia, where the Mishkan was. But a Metzeda, a leprous person, could not be even in Machne Yisrael. He had to be outside of all Jewish settlements. And yet, Moshe didn't ask, how will a person like this ever become purified? But when he heard that a person can become tummy by coming in contact with a dead person, here he couldn't understand how this would ever get cleansed. So why was this such a difficult thing? So the Rebbe says, all other tumah comes when a person is alive, when the body is alive, when the body contains a soul. And even then, the body comes in contact with something unclean and becomes tumah. But since it still has a neshama, and that neshama is a chelek elikah mimal mamish, it is literally a little piece of God, and of course God cannot be affected by tumah, by uncleanliness, so we can understand how eventually the power of his neshama, which never was affected by the tumah, can eventually heal and purify the body by taking it to the mikveh and so on, and cleanse it of its unholiness. But when it comes to the tumah of a dead body, here the tumah comes from the fact that there is no soul, that there is no life, that the neshama has separated itself from the body, and what is left is merely dust to dust, ashes to ashes. So here Moshe's question was, how do you purify someone on that level, since he has lost all contact with his neshama? Where will the purification come from on a deeper level? The idea of tumah is not some physical dirt that has to be washed off the body. It means a spiritual blemish in the person that compromises or weakens his dveikus, his connection to God. And it is through the connection to God and through the oneness with God that we receive our life. As it says, Atem adveikim b'Hashem alikechem, you cleave, you are connected to God, your God, chayim kulcham hayim, therefore you are all alive today. Our life comes from being connected to God. But when a Jew sins, and through this his connection to God becomes weakened, then the life becomes weakened, and he becomes tummy. And in this, there are many forms and degrees of tumah, of disconnectedness, of lifelessness. And each of them has its own form of correction or purification. But as long as there's still a devotion, a desire, a connectedness, an identification with godliness, then there is good chances or reason to hope that this will be healed. But when a person loses all feeling, all connectedness, all desire for godliness, then the tumor is so complete that we don't know how this will ever get fixed. And that's called tumas mes. That's called the tumor of a dead body. The tumor is not only the sin that was committed, but also the deadness, the lack of life, the absence of life, the lack of connection to one's Jewishness and one's godliness. And that's why Moshe's face fell. He was confounded by this kind of tumor. How can a person who has severed his connection to God so completely, how can he come back, how can he regain his connection to God? So concerning, in response to this, God said, this is Zeis Chukas HaTeva. This is the chukah, the decrees of the Teva, that the Teva has the power of healing. Even when the body has lost its neshama, and therefore its Teva and mitzvahs are suffering, since the neshama itself, even while it's in the body, studied Teva and fulfilled mitzvahs, the neshama has, being that the neshama is eternal, a part of God from above, is capable, with the power of Teva, which is also eternal, to affect the change in the body and to leave a permanent effect of holiness of the neshama and the Teva on the body, even when the body has died, when the body has separated itself from the neshama. And therefore, the uncleanliness of the deadness, even that can become pure. So that the mitzvah that a person did before he severed his ties, before he got torn away from godliness, remain in the body and can and will in the end bring him back to godliness. And that could be one of the explanations for what the Chazal say, the sages say, that tzaddikim, when they die, do not cause impurity. Because since their body, the body of a tzaddik, is the same as their neshama, because the life of a tzaddik is not a life of the flesh, but a spiritual life of emunah, yira, and ava, of faith, love, and fear. Therefore, the life of the body and the existence of the body in the tzaddik is itself a neshama. So that even when the neshama leaves, the body remains as holy as the neshama. So it is not a descent and a loss of life as happens in people who are not tzaddikim. But this is a chukah, something that is above and beyond human rationale. Because according to intelligence, according to the properties of the human being, one thing cannot affect another unless they have some kind of a connection, some kind of a similarity between them. But when that connection is severed, and they are opposites in their properties, one cannot have effect on the other. So how can the neshama, being a spiritual, eternal being, have an effect on the body, which is basically a physical, mundane being? So it can only happen through a decree that comes from above, beyond and above all the laws of nature, and therefore not restricted by these laws. So now we'll understand why Moshe, who had been given an explanation for Parah Adumah, God revealed to him the reason for the red heifer, yet he still had the opportunity for Maseiras Nefesh and Teira Mitzvahs. Because Madrega of Moshe was the level of Chachma. And because of Chachma, which is very humble, godliness dwells in Chachma. As the Alter Rebbe says, Ein Sei Baruch Hu Echad Emes, Shehu Levade Hu Ve'Ein Zulase, Ve'Zuhi Madrega HaChachma. That truth is revealed, the truth of God's oneness is revealed in the level of Chachma. And in Kabbalah, it makes the point even stronger, that that is how the truth and the essence of godliness is revealed in Chochmah, because of the bittul, because of the humility, the transparency of Chochmah. So when it says that God said to Moshe, "To you I will reveal the reason for Parah Aduma," it doesn't mean that God gave Moshe a rational explanation for the Parah Aduma, but rather that God revealed to him the essence of Parah Aduma, the essence of Chukah, the level of complete submission to the truth of godliness, which was the essence of what Moshe was. So God revealed to Moshe his true essence, and that is the recognition and the appreciation of a purely divine chayk, and not a rationale on the human level for the mitzvah. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was not deprived of this level of Mesiras Nefesh. On the contrary, that was his level, that was his permanent condition, and God revealed to him who he himself, or what he himself really was.